Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Again, situationally, to be in those moments of the game, whether you're a coach, a player, that's hard to, and we try, it's hard to simulate in practice. You guys are out of practice. You see what we try to do situationally. That's a great experience for Matt there. And then being able to flip the field like that was huge. And so I thought he was pretty consistent throughout the night in what he did. I thought Matt Hawk had a good punt early there with the pooch situation.
Pooch punt. It's a great football term. Right? It's an elite football term. What are the football terms you'll never hear in day-to-day life? Isn't that number one? Pooch punt? You would never hear that in day-to-day life. But you'll hear it there. And it sounds completely normal. The punting from Saturday is just, I mean, it's all Matt Araiza. Like, he mentions Matt Hawk there. Sean McDermott, by the way, from post-game on Saturday. But I think Matt Hawk is probably just doing his best to earn a opportunity somewhere else. Be the best teammate possible, help Araiza, be a mentor, do the best you can punting in the preseason so that when someone's punter muffs a kick or drops a snap in week one, then you're going to be their guy by week two and the rest of the season. So I think that's probably what's going on there with Matt Hawk. I think Araiza is most likely the Bills guy. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase taking you the rest of the way up to 10 o'clock when I'll be on the Extra Point Show with Sal. So I'll be here till 12, just hanging out. But it's Howard and Jeremy, officially, for the next hour and a half. We've been talking about the Hall of Fame, and I kind of want to keep rolling with that. Maybe we'll even kick some people out of the Hall of Fame coming up in a little bit. But the exclusivity of it, the bar being lowered by the voters in the Hall of Fame and the league, just in concert in the last couple of years and decades even. Let's go to Larry in Clarence, who is calling in right now. Larry, you've got a Hall of Fame take?
Yeah, absolutely. How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. My take was always, you know, if you have to have your agent or somebody do like a big campaign for you, and it takes like five, whatever years, you really, at that point, should you be in the Hall of Fame? I think your actions on the field should kind of speak for themselves. And here's a little hot take, I guess. I always thought, why not just have, instead of every year a Hall of Fame vote or every year have people enter the Hall of Fame, have it just for the decade. So you pick a 53-man roster for the 60s, a 53-man roster for the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Every decade from here on going forward just has their 53, what you thought was the 53 best players. You could do it by position or just players in general. And that's it. I mean, at that point, you know, once the 60s team is done, it's done. And so on and so forth.
I think, thanks for the call, Larry. I like that. In theory, I love that. In fact, they do kind of do that already with their all-decades teams that they do, but they do just pick one starter, I believe, for each position. So Larry's idea is different, where you're going a whole 53-man roster. And I do like that a lot. The reason, and Larry probably knows this too, the reason it won't happen is once-a-decade ceremonies and once-a-decade selling tickets, once-a-decade, you know, being a destination. I mean, I mentioned this last segment. Canton, the Hall of Fame, like, it's a business. At the end of the day, it's a business. They've built a building. They have built a stadium. They have built a stage, and they've built a whole experience for people to travel to Canton, Ohio to buy tickets to. It's a money-making. It's not, you know, it's not the NFL. It's not Disney World. They're not making billions of dollars or anything, but, you know, it's a money-making organization, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that's the reason why they wouldn't do what Larry's saying, but I do like this. I like this a lot. A 53-man roster for each decade. Not even just starters. 53-man roster. Because then, by the way, that would be how you get to, hey, let's get some special teams involvement here. If that's how it would be taking place, I think Steve Tasker would be in the Hall of Fame, wouldn't he? Or would they just put in the five best receivers? I don't know. For each decade. 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call, Larry. It's getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Gelbert and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Brian on a cell phone. You're on Howard and Jeremy. What's up, Brian?
Hey there. Hi there. I love the show, just so you know.
Thanks.
I disagree with removing people from the Hall of Fame. I think it's a lifelong earned honor that should not be snatched from somebody, you know, just because all the passing yards have gone up and all that stuff. But I live across the river from right where the first NFL game was ever started in Rock Island, Illinois.
Okay.
But you know when they say the Bears and the Packers are the oldest rivalry?
Yeah.
Well, back in the day, 1906, what was his name, Jim Thorpe? I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer, but that would kind of like take away his pride and fame from back then. You know what I mean?
I do. Thanks for the call, Brian. I think Jim Thorpe, by the way, is in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that off the top of my head. I'd be stunned if he wasn't. I'm not saying maybe you have to make a rule here. Like, can you only do it after they pass away? Jim Thorpe is in the Hall of Fame, by the way. He's also on the all 1920s team. So they do those all decade teams, and Thorpe is in for the 1920s. Maybe you wait until they've passed away, but then take it away from it. Is that more disrespectful to do it that way? I don't know. I think, for me, the best way to do a Hall of Fame is to just put in the best number of individuals possible and not worry about hurting feelings. But I do recognize that that will never happen because people don't want to hurt other people's feelings. You don't want to take, you know, Andre Reed out of the Hall of Fame if an amazing receiver comes up, or Chris Carter out of the Hall of Fame. Because then you've got to look them in the eyes and tell them, hey, you're not in anymore. So I get it. It's supposed to be an honor that lasts forever, but there's a middle ground between having to kick people out and letting everybody in. There's a middle ground in striking the right balance, I don't think is what they're doing right now. But I'm not actually putting people in the Hall of Fame. I'm not actually taking people out of the Hall of Fame. So I'm just sitting here in a chair talking into a microphone, and I'm wanting to kick people out. So let's do it. Let's fire up some NFL music, Corey, and let's kick people out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Specifically, the last 2 years, which have seen 36 new inductees. 36. I think it's up to us to decide who actually deserved it and who didn't. So, all right, let's kick people out. Let's start with this past Hall of Fame class that just went. Tony Boselli. By the way, Corey and I are young, so roll your eyes. Go ahead. There are a lot of these guys that we did not see play. We'll start, though, with Tony Boselli, who retired in 2001. 91 games played is all, which is the lowest, I believe, by any Hall of Famer in a couple of years. So, Tony Boselli. Tony Boselli, Hall of Famer to you?
Well, should there be, like, a game limit, do you think? Like, you have
100?
To play a certain amount of games?
Do you got to get to 100 games?
Should that be a stipulation for the Hall of Fame? Does that matter?
I'm usually more about the player's peak than the longevity.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to side with Bruce Smith on this one. Bruce Smith wrote a lengthy 4-page Instagram post on why Tony Boselli isn't a Hall of Famer. I'm going to side with Bruce Smith. I'm going to trust him. Tony Boselli, out of the Hall of Fame. Kicking him out. You good on that?
If Bruce Smith said it, I'm okay with it.
That's right. All right, Cliff Branch. Cliff Branch, wide receiver, 72 to 1985. My first thought is, if you retired in 1985 and it takes till 2022 to get in, I'm probably not thinking you're a Hall of Famer. Cliff Branch, 2 1,000-yard seasons in that 13-year career. 13-year career, and you had 2 1,000-yard seasons. Different era. But I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I don't think you're in the Hall of Fame at that. Now, if I could look up the all-time receiving list real quick, Cliff Branch, where would he rank? With only two 1,000-yard receiving lists. Branch ranks 82nd behind Joe Horn and Terry Glenn, Ricky Prohl, Mark Clayton, Travis Kelce, Vincent Jackson. No, Cliff Branch is not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. So I am kicking Cliff Branch out of the Hall of Fame. How about Leroy Butler? Some of these I'm just not going to be able to know. I have no idea how good Leroy Butler was. 1990 to 2001. Is Leroy Butler a Hall of Famer? Four-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion with the Packers, all 90s team. No, that's a pretty good resume.
He played 10 years in a row and didn't miss a single game.
That's also pretty strong. And they were all first-team All-Pros, by the way. Not second-team. He was a four-time first-team All-Pro. Four-time Pro Bowler as well. All right, Leroy Butler. I'm going to go with Hall of Famer. We're going to keep him in. Sam Mills, 1986 to 1997, linebacker. This is still the 2022 class. We're kicking out the guys that just got in. Sam Mills, five-time Pro Bowler, one All-Pro nomination in 1996 as a 37-year-old with Carolina. Not sure I want to take that away from him just because it was later in his career. I'm going to kick him out. Sam Mills, you're out. One All-Pro. Are you one of the best linebackers of all time? Are you even in the conversation? No? Then you're not in the Hall of Fame. No Sam Mills. Out. Richard Seymour. I'm in a very anti-Patriots mood the last couple of weeks, so I'm going to be willing to listen to Richard Seymour is not in the Hall of Fame. For him, seven-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, the all-2000s Hall of Fame team for the NFL. Never had a double-digit sack season. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, Corey, you might be a little young for him because he retires, what, 2011? I think he was more of a run-stopping type of defensive lineman than necessarily a pass rusher. In fact, he played a lot inside. He was listed as the starting defensive tackle for New England in 2003 and 2009, 2010, 11, 12, so maybe more of a complete all-around D-lineman than just a simple pass rusher that only cares about sacks. I'll go with in. If you're on the all-decades team, I think you're worthy. So Richard Seymour, I'm keeping in. Bryant Young, defensive tackle, 94 to 2007. Is Bryant Young a Pro Football Hall of Famer? One All-Pro nomination is all. Four Pro Bowls. The all-1990s team. Got a comeback player of the year award in here as well. All decades team is pretty good. He had one first team all pro. He had three second team all pros. So, does that make him a four-time all pro nominee guy? 94 to 2007. There's a lot of longevity here. The all decades team is kind of tough to argue with. If you're on the all decades team, it's pretty strong. So, I'm going to go Bryant Young is a yes. All right, that's your 2022 class. How many did we keep? We kept Leroy Butler, we kept Richard Seymour, and Bryant Young. Three. That's not bad. Listen, it's not...
Three's a nice moderate number.
Right, like I know the event maybe isn't as worth going to for some people, and that's where the business aspect, the business part
of the
Hall of Fame counts.
Hey, the MLB Hall of Fame had one inductee this year, David Ortiz.
Love it. There doesn't have to be six people every year. But the Hall of Fame says there has to be six people every year because they are trying to sell tickets. Three. It should have been three this year. Leroy Butler, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young.
And also the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The tickets are free.
Really?
Which is nice.
Should I double check that the Hall of Fame tickets do cost money? Wouldn't you imagine they do?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every ticketed event costs money these days.
Yeah, they were $33 a person. $33 a person. Not free. And then parking was $10. So you were spending, if you and a family of four, you know, you grew up big Packer fans. Leroy Butler was your favorite player. You want to bring the wife and kids to Canton. They've never been. We're going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We're going to make a weekend of it. And we're going to go see Leroy Butler get inducted. You're spending over $150 just on tickets and parking. Excuse me, I don't know why I multiplied four. It wouldn't be four cars. But you're spending over $100, $130 just to go to the event, let alone hotel and driving and all that. There's a lot of money involved here. So that's why there's not... that's why there is a minimum of guys that can get in. But I'm kicking three of them out, so... All right, 803-0550 is the phone number. I think we satisfied the our Hall of Fame kicking out thing for today. I do have a point to make about the Bills running back group. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Zach Moss earning a role back on this Bills offense. Maybe even enough to be the Bills' number two running back to start the regular season. I've got a good comparable in numbers to back up why even if Zach Moss has a role going into the regular season, I still think there will be enough touches for James Cook to do some damage. I'll explain later, and I have a good Bills comparable to a similar situation that they've had before and how it went and why I think you should still feel good about James Cook having a role, even if Zach Moss has one too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase, it's Howard and Jeremy. Extra Point Show coming up at 10 here in WGR. Brian Costello talking Jets at 9.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.